August 4, 2023, it's the Juan Pedro Show. Show. Happy Friday. You hear that noise? I ain't man alone. Let me tell you, we start off with the Inchworm. This is a live excerpt from John Coltrane, November 22, 1962. And we had Bad Hair with Black and White Man. Like I said, I'm not man alone mode because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got with me Jeannie. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Hello. Nice to talk to you.
Jeannie Fry. Yeah, right away we got to give credit or big respect, Brother Scotty Irvin, for the connect.
Yeah, I love Scotty.
Yeah, absolute. Now, what I want to ask you, because I want to learn about your journey through music, the stuff you sent me and all this, starting with Bad Hair, huh? Then Bad Dream House and Kitty Badass and
All the best. Okay,
yeah, right, right. Anyway, your earliest musical recollection, please.
I do remember being on a swing set when I was about 3 or 4 trying to write a song about a butterfly and thinking that it wasn't good enough.
With the butterfly or the song?
The song.
Okay. Butterflies are beautiful, right? They can't go wrong.
Yeah, how can you write a song as beautiful as a butterfly?
Yeah, and you're talking about the final phase, right, after the cocoon and all that.
Yeah, one of those, what are they called, the golden brown ones?
Well, we got here monarchs on their way to Mexico, right? They migrate, and these are beautiful.
Yeah, that's what it was I was trying to about.
Right. Okay, the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No, but when we visited my grandmother, she had a piano and she was a singer. She played and sang the piano in her house, and her house always seemed funner to me than our house.
Now, did you jump on that piano when you were over visited?
No, I used to watch my sister do it, but I guess I didn't think I was capable of it, so I never tried myself.
Well, let me ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or choir, shit like that?
I was in the choir and got chosen to be in the all-state choir, and that was really fun for me, but I also was second-guessing the songs that they were picking, but I loved harmonizing and stuff in the choir. That was my favorite part of it.
Second-guessing?
Well, I guess I wanted to sing ever since I started singing songs that I could relate to more, and they were having us sing little kid songs, and I couldn't relate to that.
You weren't a little kid at the time.
I was a kid, but the topics weren't interesting me. I was always thinking about feelings and words and emotions, and I didn't want to do simplistic rhymes and stuff, even as a kid.
Okay. Yeah, well, you want to be you. Yeah, of course. Even like Frank Sinatra, right, when he covered, I don't think he wrote many songs, but he made them his.
Yeah, he definitely changed the cadence and stuff. He's famous for that, right?
Right. In fact, Miles Davis said he was very influenced on the trumpet by his way of phrasing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, read the Quincy Troupe, you know, autobiography, but as told to, right? And then at the end, Miles says, that motherfucker said I said motherfucker too many times. And then Quincy Troupe responded with, you know, he had 14 different ways to say motherfucker. It could be all the way good to all the way bad, right? Lame. Anyway, it's about you, not Miles Davis. Sorry. What was the first record you bought with your own money, please?
I bought a single. I don't know if you'll remember it because it was a little disco-y, but the band was called Exile, and the song was called Kiss You All Over.
Okay. Yeah, nothing wrong with disco. I'm not one of those haters.
It was like a 70s hit, and I loved the song, and I remember bringing the 45 home, playing it over and over again, and one day my mom overheard it, and she's from England, and I was just innocent, thinking Kiss You All Over was something cute, like I had a bunny and I would kiss him all over, but she listened to the record and said, that's disgusting.
Uh-oh. Power of music. What was the first gig you saw, Jeannie?
The first rock show I saw was probably
For me, music, you know, I'm 65 now, so at this point, music is music. I hate the idea genre.
Okay, then, Neil Sedaka and his daughter.
Yeah, okay. Okay, hey, family unit, right?
Yeah.
Well, he could sing. He could play some piano and stuff. Let me ask you this. Not after school, like graduate, but in the afternoon. Did you get into the garage band, bedroom band, basement band thing?
Well, actually, it was only after I graduated when I started playing music with other people.
Okay.
Again, I didn't really think I was capable of it. I used to sing all the time, and I remember I heard you talking to Kim Ware about 8-track tapes, and I remember on family vacations, my parents would put in an 8-track tape, and there was 5 of us kids, and we would all sing and harmonize, and harmony was my favorite part of that, but I never thought I could do it as write music myself or do a band myself until after I was already out of high school.
You know, I think it's very okay. We all don't have to be child prodigies. I've said this before on the show, but Vincent painted only the last 10 years of his life. And by the way, he only sold one painting. So, you know, if that's like a benchmark, you know, his paintings go for a buku bucks now, right? So it seems like they're, yeah, sometimes maybe it's just a personal struggle because the rest of people just aren't on board yet, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Music is a trippy thing. I was just reading about Mr. Schopenhauer, you know, how bummed out he was on everything. But he said there was some kind of honesty. Fred Nietzsche, too, said there's some kind of honesty with the artistic expression of music because it is what it is. It's not really a symbol. I mean, you can embed it with symbols, but, you know, the sounds and rhythms and melodies. And
yeah, it's pretty interesting. I was trying to articulate what made me so attracted to music, and I really don't know, except for the layers of things. It seemed more interesting than real life to me. Like when you're having a conversation with somebody with no notes in it, it's not as interesting as a melody, a harmony, instrumentation, and that really captured my imagination.
Yeah, you know, I can't blame it all on people who don't do music because I see a bunch of bullshit perpetuated by people who supposedly are musicians, you know. They get like we were talking about disco. Like there's this a real musician doesn't dance. Like what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, but anyway, we're not talking about them. We're talking about you. So what was the event when you got brave enough to not be part of the school program, but start jamming with people? You already were with your family, but like you said, after school, after you graduated?
Yeah, I have to give mad props to my friend Nina Kyle, who's also friends with Kim Ware, and she used to go to the same punk rock club as me, and we were watching all these mostly male bands play, but there were a couple females, like there was a female singer for the band Apple, and she came up to me, we were teenagers, she came up to me and said, "I heard you play bass," which I had purchased the bass when I just came back from a vacation in England, and I went to a party and they were playing T-Rex at the party. I had never heard T-Rex before and I loved it. And I thought, I want to play music. Why don't we just leave it to the guys? Why can't I play bass? So I came home and bought a bass. It was $100 in the store, and I said to the guy, "Can I just give you $90 because I need $10 to buy a T-Rex record?" And he said, "Okay." He sold me this scaled down child's bass for $90. And I don't know how Nina found out I owned one, but she asked me to play bass in her band, and I just said yes, even though I had only been just fooling around at home. I couldn't even really play it yet.
Well, why did you pick bass of all the instruments? You know, I'm a little prejudiced towards bass.
I know that about
also,
you.
Also, I'm a little prejudiced to T-Rex, too. My first gig, me and D. Boone saw T-Rex when we were 15 years old.
Oh, you saw T-Rex? That's
yeah,
so
it was
awesome.
Our first concert.
Where
like, if you would have asked me that question, what was your first gig, that would be my answer.
Wow, that's so much
cooler. It was at the Long Beach Auditorium here in 1973.
That's awesome.
Yeah, except I got to say, you know, this is arena rock, right? So he's like fucking 16th of an inch tall. So that was kind of lame. It wasn't like a club. And let me tell you about the punk scene in Hollywood, you know, here where I got my initiation into the movement. Uh-huh. It was mainly women at first.
Oh,
up in
really?
Hollywood. Yeah, yeah. And they were in the bands. They were at the scene. In fact, you know, my sister took me before I actually went and saw gigs, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and a lot of those people I recognized when I started going to gigs. And a lot more ladies, right? They knew all the words, throwing the toast. Let's do the time warp. They jump on the front of the screen and start dancing. It was at the Tiffany in West Hollywood.
Oh, That reminds me, my drummer and my bass player are both from L.A., and my drummer wanted me to tell you that he went to high school with the Hayden Triplets.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Pacific Palisades. I think that's where they grew up. Yeah, yeah. The Hayden Petra's done a lot of music with me. All three of them are incredible ladies. And they got a band together, too.
What's their band called?
The Hayden Triplets.
Oh.
Makes sense, right?
And my guitar player saw the Minutemen at L.A. Street Scene summer of 1985.
That was, maybe it was that. It was either 84 or 85 because it was the last one. The LAPD came in on horses, and it was after us. Fear went on after us, and there was a big thing, brouhaha. So they stopped them after that. But okay. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You gave me this music here, Bad Dream House. Let's play Tongue Love.
Seeing can't replace. nothing there. Standing for the dress with nothing to wear. It's what you do that gets you through. Welcome to the reaction. Welcome to the reaction. Welcome to the reaction.
They say the climate's changing. That we know for sure. Villages fall into the Yukon as permafrost is melting. Walruses stranded on icebergs. Polar bears paddling nowhere. Winter's worse and summer's like blazes and wildfires out of control. They say the climate's changing. That we know for sure. Coral reefs are going south and south. It's heading north. Butterflies cooking off mountaintops. Deserts frying. Jungles drying out. But how could things be otherwise? The way we've carried on. Maybe carbon credits will do the trick. Or a carbon tax instead. Maybe solar panels and windmills and energy-efficient nightlights will fill the bill. Oh, we can always hope for the best. But as fracking goes wild, tar sands tear up the taiga. 6 billion people go for 9. Gas back to $2 a gallon. Oh, I have my doubts. They say the climate's changing. This we know for sure. And there's something else we know as well. That natural selection is still going on. And we might not be the fittest after all. For what we've left behind. Oh, evolution will mock our tardy rage. When we figure all this out. It's been fun. This carnival of carbon. This festival of gluttony and greed. But it can't go on forever. Life, however, will go on. With us or without. As Freeman Dyson wrote a long time ago. I believe that life can go on forever. It takes a million years to evolve a new species, 10 million for a new genus, and 100 million for a class, 1 billion for a phylum, and that's usually as far as your imagination goes. In 1 billion years, it seems, intelligent life might be as different from humans as humans are from insects. What happened in another 10 billion years? It's utterly impossible to conceive of ourselves changing as drastically as that, over and over again. All you can say is, on that kind of time scale, the material form that life would take is completely open to change. From a human being to a cloud may seem a big order, but it's the kind of change you'd expect over millions of years. Me? I want to be that man. They say the climate's changing, and so are we. Change is coming, all right. And it won't stop for us. I want to be that man who turns into a cloud. I want my tears for what we've done to make the world anew. I want to be that man who turns into a cloud.
Thank you.
for Peter. So that chunk of music started off Bad Dream House doing Tongue Love. Like, what other kind is there, right? Like with the bunnies. Well, I guess with the bunny wasn't. Well, maybe. I don't know. The Sonic Prophets after this. Benji, buddy of Scotty Irvin there in Greensboro. The Reaction. R04K Howe and Explain. The new collab R04 has got with these cats over in Japan. Mind's Eye. Sarah Oswald and Felder Melder after that with Transpersonal Source. Butterfly Launches from Spar Pole. Yeah, that's the name of a band, right? Now, the tune's called Man Turns in a Cloud. And this is like from 3 or 4 years ago. Chris Novoselic with a couple of buddies of his, a doctor reading the spiel, and then another buddy on the violin. And him playing, because I know him as a bass band, but I know he can play all kinds of stuff. He's playing acoustic guitar here with metal finger picks. A Muskeg Mudsuck after that out of Anchorage, Alaska, with Kron Crotcha, J.D. Pincus, bass man for Butthole Surfers for many years. Now he's doing banjo. J.D. Pincus and Tall Trees doing Mad Country. And finally, Kitty Badass with Ruminating with a God. No, without a God, sorry. Fuck that up, Bob. Okay, so you get this bass. And, you know, I fucking got into the T-Rex story so much, I didn't get the answer on why you chose bass.
I always kind of gravitated towards the bass, I think because it felt a little more secret than the guitar. The guitar and the vocals are always so out front, and the bass is sort of, not everybody, especially non-musicians, pay attention to the bass. And then I remember hearing a song that Sting wrote for a movie called Brimstone and Treacle. And the bass line really captured my imagination. So when I first bought that little bass, I used to just play that over and over, and that was pretty much all I knew how to play.
Did you remember David Essex?
No.
Okay, he had a song on the radio in the 70s, and I think the bass was Herbie Flowers. But that's all it is. It's called Rock On.
Uh-huh.
There's a T-Rex song called Rock On, too, but much, you can't copyright title, but yeah, Rock On, Jimmy Dean, beep, boom, beep, boom, boom. But here's what I think about bass, non-music people. I think they feel it before they hear it.
Yeah, it reverberates in your ribcage.
Because when I was a boy, I thought, oh, four-string, you know, D. Boone's ma put me on bass. I didn't even know what it was. I was 12. And oh, it looks like a guitar, but as I've gotten less younger, no, not four-string guitar, four-string drum set. Because it's got the kind of push of a drum that a guitar or a singer don't have. And that's why arena rock was terrible. But in a club, man, the bass comes on strong. So, okay, you join this lady's band. Do you remember the first gig?
Yeah, I was terrified. And we played in a bar, and two of the girls were underage to get in the bar. It was an all-girl band, that first band, Bad Hair. And I was older than them, because I think I wrote a letter as if I was one of their mothers and given her permission to be in the bar. But maybe we were all underage. It's hard to remember. I just remember we got in by the skin of our teeth. I was really, really nervous, and then on stage, I suddenly wasn't that nervous. We played the set, and the audience really dug it, and we were so happy, and I wasn't really sure if they were digging it because our songs were good or because we were an all-girl band, but I didn't care at that point.
Wow, yeah, but I would say that gig was a success, Ian.
I would chalk it up as a success. Yeah. It didn't make us quit the band or anything.
So what does Bad Hair, obviously you recorded because we started to show off with a tune.
Yeah, we have a couple of songs recorded. I think they're mostly from radio shows. We played live on the radio a couple of times because I don't remember doing any kind of studio recording for that first band.
Okay. And how long does it last?
Only a year, about a year and a couple months.
And what do you do musically after that?
So all of the girls from the band, we form another band except for the drummer who we didn't think was keeping up with us. But I switched from bass to singing because I loved harmony so much, and I had trouble playing and singing at the same time and decided I just wanted to sing. So that next band had two lead singers. A girl who wrote all the lyrics would sing the melody, and I would just harmonize on everything.
Is this Bad Dream House?
Yeah, that Tongue Love song.
Okay. And now, did this band record, go into the studio?
Yeah, we actually got signed to Rockville Records, which Uncle Tupelo was also on.
I remember. Yeah, they did a song called D. Boone, in fact.
But we only put out 1:45. It had three songs on it. But we heard through the grapevine that it was Uncle Tupelo's favorite band on that label, and they were ours. So that was really exciting. But then that band ended up breaking up like 2 years in. We never recorded anything else. But I do have some more songs from live radio shows of them, too.
Now, those cats were East St. Louis. Did you ever get to play with Uncle Tupelo? Did you go out? Did this band, Bad Dream House, tour?
We did tour. We never got to play with Uncle Tupelo, and we never actually met them in person, but it was so thrilling to know that they had heard our single.
You know, the bass man went to make a band called Wilco.
Yes. What was the other band that came out of Uncle Tupelo? I was trying to think of the name of it the other day.
I don't know, but I remember he was the guitar man, and he went with the drummer of Clockhammer, a Nashville band that we played with, I remember. Well, I played with Uncle Tupelo, too. Like I said, they made a song called D. Boone. I don't
do you
know right now.
For that song, Gun, I think that was their single on Rockville.
Man, my memory sometimes. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
But I remember the last Minuteman tour was opening for REM, and they had a tune that said, Don't Go Back to Rockville.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I guess the name of a real town, but here it's slang for, like, you know, Coke House or something. You don't want to say Rockville.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's just unfortunate. I remember playing in El Paso, and there was the gig was an old Coca-Cola bottling plant, and they named it the Rock House, and I said, man, that's not a good name. And, you know, it's not like Sly Stone said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. You know, we're at the end of the first hour, August 4, 2023 edition, Wat Pedro Show, special guest Jeannie Fry. Hold tight for hour two! August 4, 2023, second hour, Wat for Pedro Show.
from midnight until dawn. I'll watch you build that wall, and then I'll burn it
sinking down into it. It's a nice feeling.
It's a nice feeling.
What you feel is a pleasant warmth, a heaviness, a heaviness. Your breath is deep,
deep,
regular, easy. Now, imagine you arrive through the woods. It's evening. Almost no birds can be heard. The weather is running without a sound. Darkness comes out anytime you. Into it. The little tears are hiding. Now ask yourself, is it difficult to walk there? How do you feel here? It's like walking through mud. The trunk is thick. The tree rots so slowly. Around you. Green. So very green. Melt into the green. Just turn green. Thank you.
out any time here, and you won't be to it.
Now ask yourself. Is it difficult to walk there? How do you feel? I used to be a stoner. We'll be right back.
can make it pay.
Show. Start off the second hour with Same Dream. Oracle, new dream for what? You got to learn about this man. The Drift Institute after that was I Used to Be a Stoner. Just trippy music. Reminds me of Joe Frank. And he had people out there. I lost him a few years ago. But he'd make these spiels with music around him. I always wondered what came first. L7 after that. Lost in Paradise. This is L7 with the word, not the number. You know where I first heard L7? It's in that Woolly Bully, right? The Pharaohs? Sam the Salmon of Pharaohs? Don't be, come on, take a chance, learn to dance. Don't be L7 or some Yeah, that's like 1965 or something. Yeah, exactly. Out of it after that, Mirrors Cured, Toxic Wakes from Lampredanto featuring Mark Stewart. Mark Stewart, beautiful man. We lost him back in April. He woke up in the middle of the night, told his mom dying, and he was dead. That's what Gareth, a pop group guitar man, told me. I still don't know how we lost him. He's only 62. Same Dream after that with Tough Love. Jeannie, enlighten us to Same Dream.
Yeah.
No, maybe you should tell us about Kitty Badass first, because that's what we played at the end of the last show.
Okay. I really love Kitty Badass because it was the first time that I realized that I could write my own songs. Before, I was just harmonizing on the lyrics from my friend Susan Hertuck wrote most of the lyrics. And she's actually the one who encouraged me to write. She's like, anyone could do it. Just say what you're feeling. And I had a notebook full of poems, and she took them, and she took one of the poems, which was called School of Minuscule, about how small school made me feel, and she turned it into my lyrics into a song, which I then harmonized on, and it gave me my first glimmer of hope. And then when that band Bad Dream House broke up, for over a year, it must have been about 2 years, I didn't do any music, and I was very depressed. And then one day, Kitty Badass asked me to sing for them because they had a miscommunication with their old singer. They thought she had quit, and she had just gone to college, but she thought that they were going to continue. They just replaced her with me, and I just pretended that I could do it, just like I did with the bass. And then I started writing, and that song, I wrote, I'd say 65% of the lyrics for everything in that band, and I got a lot more confidence. I loved playing with the band. We put a record out on Elevator Records out of Connecticut, and we did really well, and we did a mini tour. It was very fun. And that's right around the time things started really happening in New York City with like that whole Meet Me in the Bathroom scene, the Strokes and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and all those bands. And I really wanted to move to Brooklyn because I was living in Connecticut and it was like Nowheresville. And
there's a great bass man from Connecticut, Doug Wimbish. In fact, he played in Mark Stewart's Mafia. Kitty Badass, did it share any members from the Bad Dream House?
No, it was a fresh start for me.
Fresh start.
Actually, the drummer. Yes, the drummer. How could I say that? Don Vanek played in both Bad Dream House and Kitty Badass.
Okay. And what about Same Dream? Here, the dream, it's a Bad Dream House, but the Same Dream, like we just played tunes. How did this develop?
So after 9/11, I thought, I just better start doing what I want because we could all die at any minute. And I moved to New York City like I had been wanting to do. And Nina, who was in Bad Hair and Bad Dream House with me, her ex-boyfriend lived in Queens and I lived in Brooklyn. And we started playing together. I asked her permission because I wasn't sure if she would be cool about me being in a band with her ex. And she was like, I want you guys both to be happy. You're both great musicians. So everybody's still friends. But he is some kind of musical genius, Damian Pratt. And he would write all the music, and I would write the lyrics, and then we would come up with harmonies. And it was really fun playing in that band.
Well, you gave me another song, Same Prediction. I want to play that.
Oh, cool.
met you in somebody's basement. We disagreed about the government. Now you're dissolving like a sugar cube on my tongue. You said you'd find me a replacement. You think I'm fast and much too decadent. I tried to tell you that I'm very nearly
of the Oiga, borracho, ¿no vienes aquí a las 3 de la mañana tocando la pinche puerta con sus desmadres, con sus tonterías, con sus barras? Estás mando cerveza todo el pinche día, pinches baboseras. No regreses aquí, no vuelvas. Ya te vete a tu chingada madre, quebrando toda la pinche puerta y todas las pinches plantas afuera de mi casa, asustándolo mi familia, mi esposa, todos mis niños. Vienen aquí como un pinche monstruo con sus puros tequilazos. Ya vete a su chingada madre, no regreses, y ya vete con su basura, todos sus botes, sus botellas, haciendo los desmadres. Ya viene la policía buscándolo, cabrón. Se van a chingarlo, van a torcicieron. Ya vete a tu chingada madre. Y también Dios lo bendiga. Yo voy a hacer una oración para ti, pinche enfermedad, mugroso, todo pestoso, ni respeto. Ya vete.
Watch for Pedro Show. That Chuck Music start off the same dream, do a new prediction. Rob Poetic and Luke Stewart, a Chicago bass man, stand up. Be Still is the tune. Carnage Asada, they got a brand new record. It's Norteño. My Little George, their little freestyle, right? Espanol. My Little Eye, this is you too. In fact, I just got this a couple days ago. My Mistake. Bombas Prendon after that, busting out of the playpen. Then Damon Smith and Pandelis Karayorgis with Undertone. Finally,
Embarazada.
Yeah, Embarazada. That's a name. They've landed. Okay. So we got a little thing. Well, how long does Same Dream last?
So Same Dream was only together for 2 years, and then Damien got married and had a baby. I'm pretty sure he gave up music and moved out of the city, but we haven't really been in touch. And Barazada I had been doing sort of overlapping because that's my solo stuff where I just wanted to be weirder and write weirder stuff. And They've Landed is about aliens coming and how welcome it will be.
Well, okay, you say by yourself. Are you the only musician involved in that project?
Well, not anymore, luckily. I started just writing stuff on GarageBand by myself and putting it out. But then I found some musicians here that were willing to play it, which was shocking to me because I just thought, well, nobody's going to be interested in my weird stuff. But the same drummer, Jonathan Silverblatt, who is in My Little Eye, one day My Little Eye was offered a show and we couldn't make it. And he said, well, why don't we just have Embarazada play? And my first thought in my brain was like, well, that's impossible because I don't have any musicians and it's just me and my computer. I don't want to play with a laptop. And then I thought, why am I automatically shooting myself in the foot? Maybe we could get some people together. So I found some old friends, my friend Linnea Villanova, who played bass in a band with me called The Happy Ending. She said she would play bass for Embarazada. My friend Daniel, who I played in a band called Arrow with, Daniel Lieberman, he was willing to do those songs. And the drummer, it was his suggestion. So we got together and played the gig, and then we just never broke up. We just kept doing stuff.
Okay, now, you mentioned My Little Eye, and we played a tune there. My Little Eye comes before, no, because Embarazada is going at the same time as Same Dream. I'm trying to figure out what, because you mentioned My Little Eye. When does this come about?
Yeah, so the My Little Eye is current, and so is Embarazada. Embarazada, I started doing that back in the early 2000s, probably around 2005 or so, and just never stopped writing by myself, but now it's actually a live act. And My Little Eye is just a couple years old. And as I told you, we're recording right now with Martin BC, who's
yes.
so cool.
Yes.
And he wanted to say hi to you. And yes. Our recording is coming out really good. We're doing 7 originals and an Olivia Newton-John cover, Magic.
Wow. I met him. He was recording Sonic Youth doing their Evil album. And it was so trippy because he didn't have a control booth. He actually was in the room with the cats playing. And you know who came one of the sessions? Richard Hell came. Thurston set it up. Had him set right out. I was so nervous. I couldn't say one word to him. I was so freaked out and shit.
But, did he sing on it, or he was just there to watch?
No, he's a friend of Thurston, and Thurston just brought him. He knew that Watt was way, you know, Richard Hell's my first punk rock hero. The first few times, I could not speak with him. I was just so in awe, you know. And then I had to sit next to him for like hours in the studio, and I just couldn't get the cojones up to say a word. And he's just been a really cool guy to me. But I remember that thing. It was at Martin's studio there. How did you meet Martin?
So,
oh shit, we got to wait because we're at the end of the second hour, August 4, 2023, but we'll get to the Martin BC story. Hold tight for hour 3, people. August 4, 2023, third hour of the Walk for Pedro show.
horse nor foot nor any of the guns I knew. And of course it was so, and of course he died, cause that's what the best men do. So knock out your pipes and follow me, finish up your swipes and follow me, hark to the big drum calling now. Follow me home. It's matinees the whole day long, she pours the whole night through. She won't eat while she waits for a step, which is just what the beast would do. His girl, she goes with the bombardier before her month is through. And now they're in church because she got the beggar hook, which is just what that girl would do.
Here we go. Let us pops up like confetti. Here we go, here we go. Keep a pile of new suggestions. People's choice, the next election. Here we go, here we go. Destitute unrest, confusion. Let us find our own solution. Here we go, here we go.
For Pivo Show. Start off third hour. Embarazada. Embarazada. Come on, what? Get it together. A Void Dance. Speaking of the Voidoids and Richard Hell. And then Emily Dickinson and Crane. Crane's still working through her poems. You know, she wanted to be known as a gardener before, a poet. Poetess. And this is my garden. Born Shitsters out of Fukuoka, Japan. No Time Left to Kill. Ain't that right? I wrote a song similar to that called Life is a Rehearsal, because it ain't a rehearsal, people. This is it. Chuck Johnson, Burden of Proof. And Benedict Edwards, Follow Me Home. Ratchet Orchestra out of Quebec, Sheep Meadow, and My Little Eye, Land of Plenty. Okay, so your ongoing concern right now is My Little Eye.
Yes.
But when you're in woman alone mode, and Brizada, you know, speaking of GarageBand and Petra Hayden, she does a lot of recording on that stuff. We just did a whole opera, Charlie Plymell's libretto, Planet Chernobyl. She did it all on GarageBand by herself.
Where can I hear it?
Yeah, just to use a search engine and look for Petra Hayden and Planet Chernobyl, Mike Watt. We're called Pelican Man, one word. And it's just violin, mandolin, singing, and bass.
Okay, I will look that up.
When you do on your own, what goes first?
So usually what I do is, because I find that my mind works in completely different ways when I'm writing music than when I'm writing lyrics, I like to write the music first and then leave it for a couple months until I forget what I wrote. And then it's almost like a stranger is giving me some music to write lyrics over, and then I can use my lyric brain to write the words.
Okay, yeah, that seems, especially rhythmically, if you want to get a cadence going and stuff. And I spaced. I wanted to ask you, how did you meet Martin Beese?
Oh yeah, he lives in my same neighborhood, and
oh wow,
a friend introduced us. I have this friend Bobby Bunny, who was in a band called the Bunny Brains. And then somebody stole their name, and they had to change their name to Ultra Bunny. But he's a super nice guy and a noise musician. And he was like, oh, you have to meet Martin. You have to meet Martin. And one day we just ran into him in the neighborhood because he's so close. So I've known him, like, probably about 15 years now. And this is the first time I'm actually working with him.
Wow. Okay. And My Little Eye. Trippy band name. Because what's the other eye? The big eye?
Well, do you know the English? I told you my mom is English. There's an English children's game, I Spy with My Little Eye.
No, I don't know it.
So when you have kids and you want to keep them occupied, especially in a car trip or something, you just say something like, I spy with my little eye something beginning with B. And then they have to guess what the thing you're seeing is. But I used it more like, my little eye is, these songs are coming from my little perspective. This is what I see. And I don't know how you see it, but this is how I see it.
Okay. And then the Embarazada, how'd you get that name?
So Embarazada is Spanish for pregnant.
Oh, and shit. Yeah, it is.
I actually get a lot of followers on Facebook from women that are pregnant that think I'm an advice column or something. But I just love the way the word is spelled with all the A's. The first time I heard it, it just sounds so musical to me, Embarazada.
Yeah, yeah. Man, what an idiot. You know, I remember the first time I read Jimmy Joyce's Dubliners. And I thought it was Dubliners, like it was like in the late 70s, you know, and I was getting Bob Marley and like Dub. And it was, no, it's the name of the town, you fucking idiot.
But well, that's a good name for a band. The Dubliners.
But yeah, sometimes things I'm so familiar with, and it just, man, what an idiot. Okay, but okay. Does this band ever do gigs?
Yes, we've been playing little bars and stuff here in Brooklyn, and we're trying to get more notoriety. This should help.
Yeah, but it's different gigs than My Little Eye gigs.
Yeah, it's the same type of venues, just small bars, and yeah. We're also recording right now. We're probably going to release something in the next couple of weeks. We just recorded 6 songs, and they came out really great. Daniel Lieberman, the guitar player, recorded them too and did a great job engineering.
Do both bands share members?
They just share our drummer, Jonathan Silverbutt. He played. It was his idea to resurrect, so I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
I love playing with both bands, but they're definitely a different feel from each other.
Okay, you gave me another Little Eye song, My Little Eye song, called Remote Control. I want to play that.
Okay.
Where you aim the remote control. Thank you.
Okay. I've been waiting for this moment for months, and it's finally here. I'm finally going to get a Heritage unit on camera. Yeah! All right. Look at that, a 1953 E8. Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah, listen to that bell. Oh, take a look at that. Oh, my God! Woo! Listen to that horn! Oh, my God! Oh, she's beautiful! She is beautiful! Yeah! All right! Oh, my... Oh, no! It's a BL-2, too! Oh, the SNC-52! Oh, my God! Oh, we're going to watch this. Oh, this is special. This is special. Oh, that horn gives me the chills. Oh, and the chills have absolutely nothing to do with how cold it is here. But that doesn't stop a foamer. Oh, especially when it comes to Heritage equipment. Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Blue and gray. Oh, coupled to the Iowa Pacific. Number 518. Woo-hoo! Aha! Woo! Listen to that horn. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. Look at that. All right. I wonder who T.C. Durant is. Oh, well. This is just awesome. I've been waiting for this for months. Look at that. Illinois Central livery. Right here in North Creek. That is awesome. Oh, yeah. Can't believe I got this. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
and actually able to think of myself as a front person, and that people are actually interested in my music instead of just writing in my bedroom all the time, you know?
So you're saying the drum, him as his personality, but maybe also the musicianship, the drumming, something like, what more foundation than a good drummer, right?
Right. He's like the driving force both ways. Like, he's very ambitious, and he loves playing drums and learning about drums, and he takes classes, and he wants to make up new rhythms and things, and that is very inspiring to me.
Yeah, there's a new a drummer from that part of the country, Roy Haynes, right? 98 years old, still playing.
What kind of music?
You know, jazz. He played with John Coltrane and stuff, you know.
Oh.
But in fact, he was born a couple of years before you, right? And still going. And Mike Baguetta's guy I help out with his MSSV, but he says there's something about drums being cardio. Maybe it helps your health. But uh-huh. I just think, you know, you were talking about Kim Ware, and we were talking about music as mental health helper. And
yeah.
I asked her about that because it has helped me big time. So I
me
wonder
too.
If something, yeah, I was going to say something about that with your projects. And let me tell the people what we played the last music for this edition. It was My Little Eye with Remote Control, then Regana, brand new, Desolation's Flower. What do they call this stuff? Black metal and stuff out of East Bay, Oaktown. But there's ladies doing it now. Why not? You know, The Rake at the Jazz Bunker, Rotterdam, 1988. This is Eugene Chadbourne out of Greensboro. Him playing a few years ago. The Electric Rake. That's an instrument. Pengo, Awaken in the Laughing Brain and Other Half-Baked Pursuits. And finally, Jeannie Fry and Nina Morrison, your buddy, Now I Know, from the musical Hearts on Fire. Enlighten us about that.
Okay, so also my other friend Nina Kyle was in a band with a girl named Zoe, and Zoe was married to Nina Morrison, and I got a message through the grapevine, Nina Morrison needs a singer for her play, and would you do it? And I was like very nervous, but stuck, sort of feeling stagnant. And so I thought, maybe this is exactly what I need to get out of my shell. And I went and showed up at the band practice. And when I first walked in, I had never met any of the people there before. And Nina Morrison said, our last singer sang a Frank Sinatra song. And I sort of had a chip on my shoulder and was like, well, I only sing originals. And she said, original music, that's even better. And so we've been fast friends ever since then. And she put me in one of her plays. She taught all the people my songs, all the actors and actresses. And it was so fun. And many years went by, and she contacted me about 2 years ago and said, I just wrote a musical, but all the songs are just poems. Can you write the music? And she let me change the words around a little, but every time I would write a song and send it to her, she'd be like, this is amazing. And it was so good for my self-esteem.
Yeah.
And the play just had a reading at the Jungle Theater in Minneapolis about a month ago, and it was a complete triumph. It was so fun to see the songs performed by actors, and it got a standing ovation. So I'm really happy about Hearts on Fire.
Yeah. Thank you, Nina, for helping you. This is a whole nother way to present your musical, another musical side of yourself.
Yeah, it was great. It was liberating.
Yeah. You know, how far are you along with the My Little Eye record?
So we are in the mixing stages. We've done all the recording,
okay,
and we only mixed that one song, My Mistake, that I sent you. And we have the other 7 songs to go.
Yeah, well, the reason I asked was, when you get it done and stuff, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
I would love to. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm really interested. Also, Embarazada, of course, if you get pregnant with other ideas musically that way, too. Bring them up on board. I can't wait to have you back on. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. People, it's been the August 4th, 2023 edition of Wapito Show. Keep your powder dry.